Golf Smarter number 261, published on December 10, 2010.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
Putting together the whole package. Jeff Ritter on integrated coaching.
This is Golf Smarter. Sharing tips and insights from golfers and golf professionals to help lower your score. It's worked for your host, Fred Green.
Welcome and thanks for downloading the Golf Smarter podcast. This show is being published a few days early because I've gone down to Mexico to check out some courses for a future Golf Smarter adventure. Wouldn't want to break my Ironman consecutive streak of publishing Golf Smarter every week. Also, you know, it's a compulsive thing. Also, this is a momentous occasion. This program is the beginning of year number 6 for Golf Smarter, and there's still a tremendous amount of golf information we're yet to cover. So let's just strap it in and keep on going. This episode of the Golf Smarter podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks, with more than 75,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/golfsmarter. So I got a plane to catch, so let's get this show started. Jeff Ritter has been with us many times and was actually on a month or two ago. Now, the reason he's returning is because he's also going to join us for dinner on Saturday night of our Golf Smarter Scottsdale adventure that will happen between February 9th through the 13th, 2011. This will give each of you the chance, at least each of you who join us, give you the chance to ask Jeff questions yourself that most concern your game. We'll record that conversation and publish it as a future episode. As I've said, the weekend we're together is going to be a lot of golf, a lot of golf conversation, golf education, and a ton of fun. Check out all the details, please, at golfsmarter.com. Welcome back to the Golf Smarter podcast, Jeff.
Hey, Fred, good morning.
How are you?
Hey, I'm doing absolutely fantastic down here in Arizona. It's a prime time season. We got the golfers out here in full swing, and just glad to be back on your show again. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's really a lot of fun to have you on. Let's talk a little more about prime time season in the Scottsdale, Phoenix area, because we are coming down there, and you are part of our trip. You're part of the Scottsdale adventure that we're having in February.
I know. I'm honored to be part of that whole thing, and it's exciting to think that I'll have a chance to, you know, connect in person with some of the people that listen to your program. And this is probably, what, my fourth time I've been on the show here in the last couple of years, so I feel like I'm sort of part of the family, and it'll be exciting to spend time with you in person and also all your great listeners.
Oh, yes, you are part of the family. Uncle Jeff.
I thought so. I'm not?
Yeah, well, you absolutely are part of the family. What's it like in, you know, the off-season? People think of the Scottsdale area. You're in the desert. Summers are painful. But the off-season, the wintertime, is just magnificent down there.
It really is. And I think, you know, most people...
It's golf heaven, basically, right? It's perfect for golf.
It is golf heaven, and the thing is that right about when, you know, the temperature really officially subsides, which is about, I would say, you know, November 5th or 6th or so, you start to see a big difference in the traffic patterns around here, because now, of course, the ASU, you know, college is back in full swing, and, of course, we have all these snowbirds that are coming from Canada and other parts up north, and all of a sudden it seems like our traffic doubles, and it's just a testament to how fantastic it is to be here. You know, during those winter months through March and April, and you know, there's 300 plus golf courses here. There's, you know, instructors pretty much everywhere you look, and it's just an opportunity to come down here and have a great vacation and work on your game. And Arizona is such a great place. I mean, there's a lot more to do than just golf. So I think that when people look for a place to go, you know, here versus, you know, Florida or other parts south, I mean, Arizona is a natural choice.
What's the difference of playing golf in the winter? And not just in Arizona, because it doesn't really get that wet down there during the winter, right?
No, it doesn't. You know, we'll have a couple of weeks where it seems like we get a little bit of rain. And, you know, most people think of the desert, they think it's always hot, and that's certainly not the case.
No.
Yesterday morning, coming in, my thermometer on my car, you know, read just below freezing. You know, and then, of course, an hour later, you know, it's up into the 60s, and then middle of the day, you got your sweater off, and it's just absolutely perfect. So, you know, if you're coming out here, definitely in the mornings and the evenings, you're going to need at least a light jacket. But the time that you're going to be on the course is fantastic. We just wish we had more daylight because, unfortunately, in the summer months, of course, you can, you know, be playing on the golf course until 8:30 or later in some spots. But here, you know, 5:30, 6 o'clock, the sun is down and the lights are out. So it's ideal temperatures in the middle of the day, but, you know, it would be nice if we had that true summer season in terms of daylight hours like you have, you know, other times during the year.
Well, you don't go through daylight savings time down there.
No, we don't, but the days are still
yeah,
a lot shorter.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's so interesting because you are in the desert and the sky is so clear and crisp most of the time. What happens in the winter is during those sunlight hours, it's beautiful. It's 60s, 70s, and it gets up sometime into the upper 70s. But when the sun dips behind the horizon, it gets cold real fast. I mean, you really need to, you know, it's very different at night. It gets very cold in the desert at night.
You know, my girlfriend and I, we love that show Survivor Man, that guy Les Stroud up from Canada. And it's funny because the place that he goes, it's all about, you know, figuring out how you can survive for 7 days. And he spent some time, you know, up in Utah and also the Sonoran Desert here in Arizona. And all of a sudden, the sun goes down and he's building a fire and he's doing everything he can to make sure that he survives the night because of the freezing temperature. So it's the same way out here. You know, it's crazy. You sort of take for granted temperature fluctuations, but I think it really makes Arizona unique, and we do get rain here. We don't really get any snow, especially down in Phoenix, unless you're up in the high country near Flagstaff, but that's only, you know, 2.5 hours away. I mean, you can very easily, you know, go skiing in the morning, you know, come back in the afternoon and play 9 holes, which is really unique attribute to this part of the country. So I've been here 10 years. I love it. And
sounds like you're selling real estate now.
I'm selling real estate. I should be working for the Scottsdale Convention and Visitors Bureau. They should start paying me. But
you are.
You know, I've taught all over the country. You know, I've taught for Golf Digest schools and for Dave Pelz and for Nike Golf. And you know, as you're sort of cutting your teeth as a coach, I mean, you travel around to work for the best people you can work for, and then you either decide to stay with the company and, you know, operate under the safety of that umbrella, or you say, you know what, I'm going to go for this myself. And you know, about 10 years ago, I made that decision to go for it on my own. And I'd been to Arizona a handful of times, and I just felt like it'd be a great place to, you know, to set up shop and do what I do. And, you know, it's been a good decision to this point.
You know, here in Northern California, I get 12 months a year of golf. But the winter rounds are very, very different than my summer rounds. My scores always go up, and the ball's not rolling as well. It's wetter. On the ground, you know, that we have moisture all night, and then some weeks we'll get rain 3-4 days during the week, and then the weekend it may not be raining, but it's pretty mushy out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I tend to chunk the ball a lot more. What is the difference of playing winter golf versus summer golf? And not on a mental basis, because I'm going to ask that too, but I mean on a physical basis. What kind of adjustments do we need to make?
Well, you know, the first thing you're going to have to do is spend some time practicing getting used to playing with more layers on. I mean, the nice thing about playing in the summertime is that when the temperature rises a little bit, I mean, your muscles are as loose as they're going to be due to just the fact that there's some heat surrounding you. You know, you're playing in the most minimal amount of clothing that you're going to have. You know, by the end of your round, you probably feel pretty loose, you know, and with playing winter golf, I mean, you're going to get out of the car, you're going to be cold, you're probably wearing, you know, some sort of a turtleneck and then maybe a wind shirt or something like that, or maybe even a full, you know, rain jacket, and it's just totally different from what you're used to, and you're going to feel much more bound up. And if you think about golfers in general, you know, unless you're 18 years old, then you don't spend a lot of time, you know, in the gym doing proper stretches or attending a yoga class or involved with the Titleist Performance Institute, you're probably not as limber as you should be to begin with. You know, so now all of a sudden you have those cold temperatures, and it can really seem difficult to, you know, enjoy that feeling of a free-flowing swing where you feel like you can put everything you got behind it. You know what I mean? You sort of feel like you're an old man out there. just because of the temperature and situation that you're in. So,
no, I feel like an old man out there because I am. That's totally different. But, you know, you're absolutely right. I'm sorry to interrupt, but you're absolutely right in what you say. It makes me think about when I'm playing during the summer and I'm playing with just a golf shirt on and the weather is warm or it's hot, you know, I'm hot. Okay, my body's hot. That's not a big deal. But when I play in the winter and I am wearing like an Armor All type of turtleneck, you know, that's really snug to the body, and over that I'm wearing a fleece, right?
Right.
It's very different when my body, you know, close to my body, I'm getting sweaty and feeling hot. That's a real different feeling. You're right.
It is. It is. And, you know, for winter golfers, you know, they're not going to be playing golf as often as they might normally play. If you belong to a club, you might play, you know, every evening after work. You might be playing, you know, one or two rounds on the weekend. You know, the wintertime, if you're even considering getting into some kind of a fitness program, and this is the time to do it. This is the time to say, you know what, I've got a little extra downtime. I want to improve my game. If I can start looking at, you know, the aspects of, you know, strength, stability, and also mobility, which is going to be the big thing in this case, then maybe you sort of, you know, take that window of opportunity and do something that you might not be inclined to do in the summer months when you're ready to just go out and play. I mean, it's something you should do, you know, certainly on a consistent basis, but if you're going to start something, you know, this is the perfect time to do it.
And we advocate that every year is there are many ways to do an off-season program to keep your game in shape, not just mentally, but physically, and conditioning, stretching, so important.
Well, you know, there's so many great free resources available. I mean, I'm out here in Arizona, and there's a lot of, you know, physical trainers and organizations that deal with professional athletes. So it's one of these things where if you live in Arizona, it's everywhere you turn. But, you know, I grew up in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and there's maybe one gym at the time. It was a Gold's Gym, and I don't think they were too terribly versed in, you know, how athletes, especially as golfers, train. So, you know, you really got to be able to leverage the online content. And, you know, Titleist has done an absolutely phenomenal job with their Titleist Performance Institute out there in Carlsbad, California. And they got a website, which is mytpi.com. All you have to do is just give them your email address. They'll probably never contact you unless you want them to. And it's got, you know, pages upon pages upon pages of great information on, you know, strength, mobility, stability, free exercises, free videos. It's got everything. And I'm actually going to a Titleist Performance Institute seminar here in Mesa, Arizona, on Sunday and Monday to learn a little bit more about it. But for people out there that really want to maybe take that first step and just really enjoy a really cool site that has a lot of great information, it would be mytpi.com. And the other one that I would recommend would be coreperformance.com, which is part of Athletes Performance, which is a group that I'm very heavily involved with here out in the Phoenix Scottsdale area.
We have had probably 4 or 5 TPI certified instructors on Golf Smarter. I'm a huge fan of what they're doing. I think the way they've incorporated swing mechanics with conditioning has been amazing.
Well, you kind of have to do it. I mean, nowadays, in the future of coaching, it's all going to be about integrated coaching. You're not going to be able to just, you know, focus on just one thing and expect your clients to feel like they're getting the proper value out of the dollars they're putting into their instruction. And, you know, you might not have to be, you know, versed in sports psychology or entirely versed in physical conditioning and training, but you have to understand how these things fit into overall performance. And if you're not going to be the person that's going to be actually putting them through the paces, you're going to have to be able to, you know, be the point guard, so to speak, where you're able to, you know, to dish the person off to people that are within your team to give that client the feeling that, you know, when they came out and they saw you, that you knew about and you had the ability to facilitate all the resources they would ever need in order to make their dreams become reality.
And that's why I like having you as part of the Golf Smarter family, who we like to visit more often than the crazy uncle that we only visit once in a while, because you are really one of those integrated coaches where you incorporate the mental part with the physical part with the swing mechanics. I mean, you do all those things, including you're a great resource for books, because this episode of the Golf Smarter podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks for more than 75,000 downloadable titles, including many versions of New York Times bestsellers. For Golf Smarter listeners who've yet to give Audible a try, Audible would like to give you a free audiobook so that you can hear for yourself how great this experience of reading audiobooks can be. Now, with this offer, when you go to audiblepodcast.com/golfsmarter and choose any audiobook from their vast library of over 75,000 titles, you can get one of your choice at no charge. And last time you were on the show, you made a phenomenal recommendation of the Dan Millman book, Way of the Peaceful Warrior. And I'm gonna hit you up again. Do you have any recommendations that you'd like to make that might be on Audible? That better be on Audible, actually.
Well, let's see. If it's going to be on Audible, you know what? I just read the book Crush It, which is all about the power of social media and the fact that, and this is not a golf-based book at all, but it's a book that's based on, you know, if you have a dream to be self-sufficient, if you have a dream to maybe create your own business, to be able to leverage whatever intellectual material that you have, then the way that things are set up now, through social media and things like YouTube and Twitter and Facebook and being able to create, very easily searchable websites through WordPress and whatnot, and then you can actually, take the information you have and you can connect with a worldwide audience very easily. So, it really inspired me to think more about what I do and how I can do it better and realize that there's no need to think small. There are no more gatekeepers. You don't need to have CBS tell you if you can go on TV or not. You don't need no longer need to have Fox Sports Radio tell you if you can have a segment there. It's all up to you, and if you can go ahead and throw it out there, it's amazing what you can do.
I didn't need ESPN or the Golf Channel to tell me I can do a golf podcast, right?
Exactly, and your show is fantastic, and you've got a great listenership, and it's very professionally done, and it's just really inspiring to know that the whole world is watching, the whole world is listening, and last time we talked about this whole YouTube thing and all these videos that I have on YouTube for free and the online coaching that I do. I just got this great video in 2 days ago that is posted to my my Jeffreter Golf Channel on YouTube, and it's this guy standing out in the snow in Finland with freezing temperatures. The snow's blowing in his face. The snow is coming in sideways. And he's out there recording a swing because he wants me to look at it here in my studio in Arizona. And
that's
if
so
I didn't
fun.
Believe that my message was worth hearing beyond my 25-mile radius, then I wouldn't be doing things like this. But not only has it been great for revenue, but it's always been really great for inspiring me to really enjoy and love what I do and know that I can connect with the world audience. So that book, Crush It, has got a lot of great tips for people that might be interested in sharing anything. It could be fly fishing. It could be, how well you bake cookies. It could be, youth soccer. It could be golf instruction. I would definitely pick it up because it'll definitely get you fired up and let you take some steps that are actually pretty easy to putting some of these ideas in motion.
Well, I hope you told the guy in Finland about Golf Smarter, too. Actually, Crush It, Why Now is the Time to Cash In on Your Passion by Gary Vaynerchuk is available on Audible. So give that one a try. Now, I always recommend golf books, but when I have somebody who, like yourself, who's immersed in golf, wants to talk about a business book or a motivational book, I love it. Thank you very much. It's called Crush It, Why Now is the Time to Cash In on Your Passion by Gary Vaynerchuk. And you can get that for free if you'd like. Just go to audiblepodcast.com/golfsmarter. Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right, now let's get back to our conversation, and that would be the mental difference of playing in the winter. How do you have to approach it differently? And again, we talk about integrated coaching. The mental part of the game is something that you also focus very much on.
Yeah, absolutely. And basically what you have to do is you have to change the rules that you create in your mind around what it means to have fun on the golf course. I mean, for example, if I'm the Indianapolis Colts and I've got this offense that is based off of precision and speed and all the games that I play at home in my dome on nice AstroTurf are the games that I win, and then I have to go play on a big sloppy field down in Chicago at Soldier Field, if I don't like the conditions, if I have a problem with what's being presented to me the next couple of hours, I'm not going to perform very well because I'm not going to think that those conditions are conducive to me, being on my game, so to speak. And it's easy to go out, on a beautiful day, 70 degrees, no wind, and say, hey, I love golf. I love the way my swing feels today. This is what I'm looking for. But then all of a sudden the rain starts coming down, and you go, you know what? I'd rather not play today. If you want to keep on playing through each season, you're going to have to learn to love each condition that's presented to you. And really convince yourself that whatever condition you're playing in is absolutely perfect for your game. And that's what the best players do. I mean, for example, some players don't even want to go over to play in the British Open because it doesn't, you know, fit their game. They don't like it. They don't like the wind. They don't like the fact that it's going to rain and then it's going to shine and then it's going to rain again. The wind's going to come in, you know, at 40 miles an hour gusting. You know, the players that don't like those conditions pretty much guarantee they're not going to win, place, or show during that event. But the players that can sort of, you know, be gamers, you know, be mutters like horses, you know, and say, you know what, you know, these conditions are perfect for me. I'm going to find a way to play within these conditions and leverage whatever strengths that I have. Those are the ones that like the idea of gutting it out. They like the challenge of playing in those conditions. And they understand that a great drive might not be the same kind of great drive they might have under perfect conditions. They might not be able to hit a big, high bomb draw into the wind when it's blowing, you know, 30 miles an hour right to left. They might have to hit different shots, but, you know, golf is all about shot making. It's all about trying to hit the shot required by the lie, by the conditions, you know, by the situation that you're in. And if you can embrace that and play the game with that mindset, it's not going to matter what conditions you play in.
That's great advice. I'm, wow, it's kind of earth-shattering, head-shaking advice that it's like, oh, and your analogy of football is perfect on it, too, because you have to just assess where you're going to be playing and not bring the game that you had last month in the warm weather, or, you know, on rock-hard courses, that kind of thing. You really have to make the mental adjustments before you step onto the course, and I think you have to do that with every single shot, though, right?
Absolutely. You got to like the game, and you have to like the game, you know, rain or shine.
You have to respect the game.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of people, you know, golf, they're so tied into, you know, this was a good shot, this was a bad shot. Everything's good or bad. You know, nothing is good or bad until you decide that it's good or bad. You know, if we're dealing with baseball, you know, as long as you hit the ball within the boundaries of the foul poles, it's great, right? But for some reason, when you get on the first tee, unless you hit the ball smack dab in the center of your club face and it lands right in the middle of the fairway, now all of a sudden, you know, your shot that lands in the rough or hooks to the left a little bit, all of a sudden that shot sucks to you, you know. And that's a choice that you're making. You know, you're creating a contact, and then automatically your ego is associating a value with that contact. This is good, this is bad, this is good, this is bad. And the person that is swayed by the outcome is the one that's going to have a really hard time, you know, walking up and trying to do the best and enjoying the fight. You know, golf isn't about, and I said this before in the show, it's not about who hits it the best, it's about who misses it the least. You know, and
that.
if you think that you've got to be in perfect conditions and you got to see your ball fly the way it does when you hit the best shot you've ever hit in order to have fun, then you should probably go play something else.
Yeah, I love when you say that. Say that again. It actually leads me to an interesting question that came in from one of the listeners that I've been holding off wondering, you know, which questions I can bring to you on this one, and it's really perfect. This is from Ed Bethea, who is the women's golf program coordinator over at Dodge City Community College in Dodge City, Kansas. And he's like, why is it I can play a friendly round and shoot 73 to 75, but when it comes to a tournament, I tend to shoot 83 to 85. My grip pressure doesn't change. My pace doesn't change. What's wrong with me? I'm a good player. I don't get it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it again all has to do with your fear of the outcome. You know, if you play a casual round, it's just you and the birds and the squirrels and the rabbits and maybe your best friend. I mean, you know, what's the big deal of how you do? So, you know, people are at their best when they feel their best, and when you're in a non-pressure situation, when you're just out there having a good time, chances are, you know, the thoughts you're going to have and the emotions you're going to have around your ball striking, you know, are going to be in a situation where nothing seems too daunting or too pressing. But, you know, I just remember playing as a junior golfer, and I would go through the same thing. I would go out and I would play the night before, play nine holes in my home club, go out and play amazingly well, and then all of a sudden you get to the course the next day, and you don't walk to the tee with the same lighthearted attitude that you did in your casual round. Now you're trained, you're conditioned to be more serious. This means something now, you know. So I got to have my game face on. I got to be, you know, walking around like I care about this. And right then and there, you've changed the way that you approach every other round you have. You know, if you want to play well, then maybe you should think about the way that you think and the way that you feel when you're playing well in a casual situation. Just because now you're in a big game situation doesn't mean that you all of a sudden have to bear down and try harder mentally in some way, because it's going to mean something to you. And again, if we go back to football, you see the same thing. You know, in the Super Bowl, the first couple of series, everyone looks kind of tight, don't they?
Yeah.
You know, the quarterback might steer a couple throws in there. Maybe he throws a ball a little too high, and the coach pulls him over and he says, "Hey, you know, just settle down. It's going to be okay." You know, you got to get back into, you know, thinking well and feeling good so that you can play good.
It's kind of the advantage of being the underdog in some cases.
Yeah, a little bit. But you know, it's all about staying in the present. You know, every amount of pain or suffering you feel on the golf course or off of it is based on something you fear that has happened in the past or that might happen in the future. And when I was a kid, it was being in a small town. And if my round started going poorly, I would start thinking about what I might shoot at the end and how bad that's going to look in the newspaper.
Hmm.
Oh, my God, what if I don't break 80? You know, my dad was a golf pro. I'm the pro's kid. I'm supposed to be really good.
Oh,
and all of a sudden, if I don't break 80, it's going to go in the paper, and everyone's going to see it, and all the other kids that I play with are going to see it, and they're going to think that I stink. You know,
Oh, my gosh. That's like, you know, you talk about worrying about the outcome. Most of us worry about the outcome on the scorecard. Yours just went way beyond that.
Yeah. And
that's
the thing is, but that's, you know, if you really keep on digging deeper and deeper and deeper, that's what it comes down to. You know, the thing is, it's all about, you know, why in the world are golfers known as chronic liars? Everyone knows that golfers are liars. You know, they're liars because they lie about their score. They've been lying about their score since they were 10 years old. And when someone walks through the door in the 19th hole and their buddies go, "Hey, Dan, what'd you shoot?" You know, chances are, if he didn't play his best, he's going to either lie about his score, or he's going to filter his response in some way to make you know for sure that he can do better. "Oh, you know what? You know, I was doing great, but I hit a ball out of bounds on 3. I never do that. You know, if I didn't hit it out of bounds, I would have shot 76. You know, if you didn't hit out of bounds, well, you did. You know, why do you have to say that? "Oh, you know what? You know, it got really windy on the back 9. I was doing really well. Or, you know, I got this new putter, or, you know, I had that back surgery 3 months ago. I'm not quite, you know, back to full." But there's never a time when someone walks in and goes, "You know what, if someone's a 5 handicap," they never come in and say, "You know what, I shot 82, but I had a great time with the guys today." They never say that.
Right.
They say, "Ah, you know what, where's the bar? You know, line them up." And the reason they do that.
I think this is so funny because it's so true.
Well, everyone knows it's true. You know, and the reason they do that is because on some level, they're connecting their golf score to their self-worth as human beings.
Mm-hmm.
On some level, they're doing that. If they weren't, you know, then they'd be fine just shooting a number and patting their buddies on the back and saying, "Man, that was great. I wish I could have done better, but we'll go out and get them tomorrow."
Oh, yeah, and it's quoted to me in emails from people who write in and says, "Yeah, well, Fred Shoemaker said, when have you ever been able to equate life happiness with a lower score?"
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen that way. And it's so interesting that you talk about, as we've heard so many times, it's about the process, not the outcome. But you're talking about his mental approach and putting the game face on. Wow, what a perfect way to describe that is. And we all get it about putting on that game face and how it changes your whole approach to the game. And in this email that Ed sends, he says, "My grip pressure doesn't change. My pace doesn't change. What's wrong with me?" He talks about the physical aspects and the mechanics of his swing, and yet he doesn't say, "I take a different attitude when I walk into a tournament."
Well, you know, it all goes back to, like I said before, you know, human beings are at their best when they feel their best. You know, and the problem is that through conditioning, you know, we've come up with mantras in our society such as "no pain, no gain." I have to suffer in some way in order to gain something. The thing is, if you're in the zone, so to speak, you know, what are some words that we use to describe the zone? Effortless, easy, fun, can't miss. I mean, those are the things that you think about when you talk about this mental state where, you know, you're playing lights out. You know, you're Michael Jordan, 10 shots in a row from the field, swish, swish, swish.
But you know what I hate about being in the zone? And I swear maybe one or two times in my golf career do I feel like I was in the zone, but you don't know it until it's all over. To me, I didn't realize it until I looked back and went, "Whoa, I was totally in the zone today."
Well, here's the thing. You know, what if I told you that you're always in the zone and it's your thoughts that are pulling you out of it constantly?
Yeah, I can see your point.
Yeah, so when you're driving to work, you know, you're answering phone calls, you're probably doing some things you probably shouldn't be, you know, driving with one hand, you know, shifting with the other.
Texting,
which you should never do, you know, to all the kids out there. But your body is always operating, you know, effortlessly and brilliantly until you start to recognize how well you're doing, which is just your thoughts pulling you out of the zone. If you open up a cupboard in your kitchen that's stuffed a little bit too tight and a can falls out, you know, you might just go ahead and swipe it from the air, you know, like it's nothing. And you might even talk to yourself going, hey, that's a pretty good catch. Well, that's the way you're designed to operate. You're designed to operate with effortless brilliance. And it's when you start to think too much, when you start to you know, let your own thoughts and ideas get in the way of your brilliance, that you pull yourself out of the zone. So, you know, in my opinion, the zone isn't the place that you train to get to. It's not a place that's reserved for only the special elite athletes like the Joe Montanas and the Michael Jordans. It's actually the place where you live. And what you have to learn to do is not get in your own way more than anything.
I know that you have a lesson coming up, so we can't go on as long as I want because I have so many more questions that I want to ask you. But I do want to talk about we've talked on here before with you about your book, Your Kid Ate a Divot, 18 Life Lessons from the Links, that is available in the Golf Smarter Shoppers Golfers Mart, and you can get that on Amazon, and you can even get it for your Kindle if you want. But you also have an ebook available on your website called Golf by Design that I'd like you to share a little bit about.
Yeah, you know, about 5 years ago, I just created this ebook. It's about 60 pages long, but it's just an overall synopsis of, you know, my approach to coaching, my approach to learning throughout the entire game, building a swing, building a short game, and also some of the ideas and attitudes that really help with the learning process itself. And you know, I call it Golf by Design because when I'm coaching, the number one thing I have to do is help people understand the basic design under which the game is being played. It's all about finding out and learning and understanding what the blueprint for golf is. And most people, surprisingly, don't know what it is. And as a result, they intuitively make bad decisions on, you know, what to do with their golf swing. So, you know, there's basically two different kinds of games. There's online games and there's offline games. An online game is a game where you're standing on the line of flight. You know, if you're shooting a basketball, you're standing on the target line. If you're playing darts, you're standing on the target line. You know, golf, baseball, tennis, a sidearm throw, a strike with a hockey stick, you're not standing on the target line. You're standing off the target line. So the thing is that most people, when they set up to a golf shot, you know, one of the things they're trying to do is they're trying to hit the ball straight. And the first thing they think is, you know what, maybe if I swing straight, I can hit it straight. But there's also a mantra that golf instructors use, and that is straight swings hit curved shots, whereas curved swings hit straight shots. So if you're going to be playing golf well, you have to understand that you're standing to the side of the target line, which means you have to play every shot with an arcing motion. That means the club head swings away from the target line of the backswing, back to the target line of contact, and then immediately back away again. And it's really the best ball strikers that play online the least versus the most. So if you can understand that one basic concept and make sure everything you do is arcing and circular in nature, you'll have the best chance of getting the results you're looking for.
Fabulous. And that book is available, ebook is available at jeffrittergolf.com. Don't go to jeffritter.com. Go to jeffrittergolf.com, where you'll see that Jeff has been named Golf Digest's best young teacher, one of the best young teachers of 2010-2011. Congratulations.
Hey, thank you so much.
That's pretty cool. That's very cool. And lastly, I just want to remind everyone that Jeff is going to be joining us for our Golf Smarter Scottsdale adventure coming up in February. So here's the lineup that we got going up. We start Thursday morning by playing the Raptor course at Greyhawk. But before that, Chuck Evans, the Executive Director of Instruction for Medicus Golf, is going to be giving a clinic. And then which is going to help us, you know, especially if you're coming from winter locations that you haven't played in 4 or 5 months. We're going to get a nice little clinic. Then we'll play Greyhawk. And then that night we'll have dinner together, and Chuck is joining us for dinner. Then on Friday we're going to play out at Troon North. Saturday, we're playing TPC Scottsdale, the stadium course, just a few days after they finish the Waste Management Phoenix Open. So the course is going to be in amazing condition, in tour quality conditions, and one of the first tee times they're allowing to the public after that event. And then that night, we're going to have dinner again. And Jeff is going to be joining us for dinner to talk about golf, about anything. We'll record that and make that a future episode. And then Sunday morning, we'll go out and finish it up by playing a round at Kierland. And Friday after our round, we're going to get a private tour of Scottsdale Stadium, which they don't give these tours. And it's going to be Scottsdale Stadium 3 days before the world champion San Francisco Giants report to spring training. But, Jeff, you're all part of this adventure, and I really am hoping that all Golf Smarter listeners seriously consider joining us. We're going to have so much fun just talking about golf, having a great time, and I'm so excited that, again, that you have agreed to participate in this.
I'm excited to be part of it, too, and, I mean, it's a perfect time of year, and all the stuff you talked about is absolutely fantastic, and you're right. I forgot that your San Francisco Giants actually do their spring training right here in Scottsdale, and the stadium's really cool, and it sounds like a great golf trip from A to Z, doing things golf and also things that are of interest outside of the game as well.
Yeah, well, and letting the non-golfing partners, if you want to bring your significant other with you and let them hang out, we've got activities for them, including a full day at the spa, the Fairmont. So it's going to be great. It's going to be so much fun. I'm so excited. I really am. Jeff, great to talk to you again. It was definitely Uncle Jeff. You get to sit around with Uncle Jeff and talk about all things golf that you want to hear, because passing on your wisdom is just amazing, and I really appreciate it, buddy.
Awesome, Fred. Thanks so much for having me again.
Again, deadline to sign up for our adventure is January 7th, so stop thinking about it and pull the trigger already. Get yourself out of that crappy weather for a great weekend. I'd love to meet you and really want to play golf with you, so please join us in Scottsdale. As I mentioned about bringing your non-playing partner with you, spouse, if you'd like, we are going to have some great alternate activity set up for them that also includes a full day at the Fairmont Scottsdale Princess Willow Stream Spa. And it's not only a day there, there is a massage included as well. So there's going to be hiking and shopping and hanging out at the pool. Everyone's going to be very happy by the time we leave at the end of the day on the 13th. We close with six words on golf that I know Jeff can appreciate. Ancient proverb, hit second shot first. Next week for members only, we'll speak to Lon Grundy, the general manager of True North, about their fascinating new program called Monument Express. And we'll talk about why the pinnacle course at True North is one of our rounds on the Golf Smarter Scottsdale Adventure and the number one course in Arizona. If you have any questions, comments, suggestions, or six words on golf, click on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com.
Smarterpodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.